Welcome, everyone. Today, we have a regular board meeting of the Board of Trustees of Carrillo ISD. It is December 17, 2013, and it is 6:06. Ms. Tony?
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
She's running a little late.
Mr. Medina?
Present.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
And the first item is the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ms. Tony, if I could ask for Mian Ceballos, Kimmy Sin, Edith Escareño, Yasmin Cisena, Isaiah Paisa, Isa Monreal, and Gary Richter to please come up here and help us with the pledge. The rest of you two, all the kids, come on.
Okay?
No. It's okay. Come on.
You want to make a note?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you so much. Now, if I can have Mr. Coronado and Ms. Searles. Mr. Coronado, if you could say the CIS mission and Ms. Searles the vision statement, please.
All right. The mission statement is to provide high-quality educational opportunities that will inspire all students to acquire and use the knowledge and skills needed to become leaders and productive citizens in a culturally diverse and technologically sophisticated world.
And we want to become a premier school district with nationally ranked biliterate graduates that will be able to create, collaborate, communicate, critically think, and apply the knowledge and skills to be successful in post-secondary and the workforce, and more importantly, in life.
Thank you, Mr. Coronado, Ms. Searles.
Item two, special presentations. Mrs. Quintana.
Well, this is a special moment because this is for a very special young man, a leader, a fighter. You amaze me every day, Armando. This is for you, Mr. Rodriguez. The board wants to recognize you for your service. You've done a wonderful job. You keep going there. You're going to go for the moon or higher. Okay, and I want to thank you with all my heart. You're an awesome young man.
District that each and every one of you love, and this is what you can do someday too. He's given back to our community everything. I mean, he could be out like, look how handsome he is. He could be having a date tonight. He's here. He cares about the kids. He cares about our community. And it's been an honor to watch him grow up from little third grader to quite a gentleman and a very much a leader. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
I just want to say that it's been a privilege to watch you. You've always been involved in the district. One of the few individuals who, as a student, would get the board packet and be at the meetings regularly. And because he cared about his education and the education of the of his friends and his other fellow students and the entire community. And, you know, I don't know how long you've been involved in the business of the board, but it's been quite a long time. And it's been good to see you grow up in, you know, the service of your community. And we are really indebted to the leadership that you provided this last year and your entire term on the board. You do your homework, and you know, we appreciate the service. As far as for me on the board, I appreciate the work you do because you put your effort into it, and it's always because it's in the best interest of the kids, and you've never lost sight that that's your only interest in your service, and thank you.
No, it's been one of the, I could say it's been one of the toughest years for the school district when you look at everything that was combined within this year, whether it was, you know, the issues that happened and transitioning from, you know, the leadership of our district and our new vision that we have is gives me tremendous pride serving with you all this past year, and I think, you know, we're going to continue to head on in the right direction and doing what's right for kids. You know, one of my favorite quotes I always say is by William Butler Yeats, a poet, and it's, education is not a pelt to be built, but a fire to be ignited. And that's one of the things that we try to work here is to ignite those fires on every one of our students to make sure that they become successful and go out and represent kind of the only best manner and come back and serve because it's all about the community. We're a huge community. You know, once and you've always been. So I thank the community first for giving me that opportunity in my board as well. And we'll continue to grow and do some great stuff in Canopia. So ready, right, Coach?
I'm new at this. This is my first meeting, so I'm not as good as was. But I would like to ask everyone for a moment of silence. We should have done this before, but I apologize. I was too excited about giving you your dad. I would like to ask for a moment of silence to honor two people who directly and indirectly impacted everyone here in Canopio ISD. Please join me in a moment of silence to celebrate the life and lessons of South African President Nelson Mandela, and also a moment of silence to reflect on the life of Canopio High School freshman Simon Marmolejo, who passed away earlier this month and left a strong impression on everyone he touched. Thank you, everyone.
Item 3 is board honors. Mr. Reveles.
Good evening. I ask you to please bear with me. I'm having a coughing fit over here, but I'm happy to be here. As we head into the holiday break, it is important to reflect on the accomplishments and feats our wonderful CIC community has amassed on the first half of the school year. On the field and on the stage, kids from Canutillo managed to make history, but it's in the classroom that we are seeing some of the best work. Board President Quintana, members of the board, and Dr. Galaviz, it's a pleasure for me to share with you some of the great stories of accomplishment that are coming out of our school. Could you please join me on the steps in front of you, please? From Canutillo Middle School this month, we honor the work of artists. CMS has a long history of top-notch art, as is evident by the work hanging in Galeria Canutillo right behind this boardroom, as well as the murals and art pieces that adorn the halls of CMS. First, we honor the work of students who took to color and paper the important lessons of tolerance and acceptance of the No Place for Hate program. Their artistic efforts are inspiring students to eradicate bullying in our schools and learn to appreciate the differences that makes each one of us unique. For placing first, second, and third in the CMS No Place for Hate poster contest, we honor tonight CMS students Mia Ceballos, Kimmy Sin, and Edith Escareno. Could they please come up and greet the board? Under the direction of our teacher, Laura Bernanke at CMS, and of course the leadership also of CMS principal, Dr. Reyes. Could Dr. Reyes and Ms. Bernanke come up and be recognized as well? Kimmy and Edith, stand up to be recognized as well. have more art from CMS. This time, the students from Canopillo Middle School competed against students from throughout the region in the 5 Points Lions Club Peace Poster Contest. CMS students didn't just place first, they didn't just place second, they also placed third in a clean sweep of the contest. For their outstanding participation in the Lions Club Peace Poster Competition, we honor CMS students Jasmine Susana, Isaiah Monreal, and Gary Richter. By district and area championships and being the only El Paso area team to play in the regional stage of the Texas High School Playoffs. Very few teams in El Paso can boast about being area champs, and Apuntillo can add another unique trophy to its already crowded case. Could Coach Brooks and his coaching staff and team please come up and greet the board? Championship t-shirts for the board members.
Thank you very much.
Grab one for my bed. We'll grab one some more in a bit. That's what I did.
It's like the old workout shirts.
Did you? Oh, the heat.
We should wear
citywide concert of January 18th at Canutillo High School. From CMS, three students received honors. Seventh grader Alexis Castillo was made the AWO Women's Choir and Honor Mix Choir. Eighth grader Caitlin Roberts made the AWO Women's Choir, and Ashley Nunez made the AWO Women's Choir. Could the CMS choir students please come up and be recognized by the board? And from out there at the middle school, five students were honored. Seventh grader Maria Irene Gonzalez, who made the All Women's Choir and Honor Mix Choir. Eighth grader Reina Monroy, who made the All Women's Choir. Eighth grader Diana Olvera, who made the All Women's Choir. Eighth grader Danielle Collazo, who made the All Women's Choir. And seventh grader Kevin Santillano, who made the All Men's Choir and the Honor Mix Choir. Could the students please come up and be recognized as well?
Congratulations. Good job.
All students were under the direction of middle school choir instructor Alejandra Pedraza de Martinez. Could you please come up? And of course, they were under the leadership of the principals from CMS, Dr. Reyes, and from AMS, Marty Roche. Good day. City, and I think we can be very proud of the job they do. Members of the board, Dr. Galavizas concludes this month. Happy holidays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or are you watching TV?
No, it's a louder timer than the one I had. So now people will really know.
It's called speaker loud.
Huh? Oh, not too late. Okay. How many people are here?
I'm glad I wasn't
a single. Was it a regular meeting or next time? First time ever was a board meeting here. Really? In 4 and a half years.
Everybody's gone.
Next is open forum, and we have two individuals signed up to speak. The first one is Guillermo Silva.
My name is Guillermo Silva. I'm with El Paso Electric, the Vice President of Community Outreach. We're glad to be here with you tonight.
Yes, thank you for the invitation. We're going to be very brief tonight, but our main message is that we'd like to be invited back this spring and give you a presentation about all of the things that we're doing at El Paso Electric. We have some things we're very proud of. We know we've had a very tough time for this community in the recent past, but we still think it's very important, even more so important to let you know what we're doing, why we're doing it. You've heard a lot in the news that we have a massive infrastructure build out. We're investing over $1 billion in this 5-year period, and we're building power plants, as you know, transmission lines, distribution operation centers, lots of things that we think will really enhance and benefit the community in the long run. But we are, clearly we have lessons learned, and we want to be proactive reaching out. We also want to let you know that we have just, we're almost done, but training about 30 of our employees to be in a speakers bureau, and they will be able to come out to talk to groups like this, or school classrooms, community groups, senior groups, anyone that you want, and we'll have a variety of topics, but if there's anything else you want to hear about, we'll do that. So if you want to hear about renewable energy in your high schools, middle schools, we'll come and talk about that, energy efficiency, anything that you want. So that's going to be an open invitation, and we'll make sure the right people know. But so today, we really just wanted to let you know that we would like to come back in the spring, maybe do a larger presentation about some of the things we're going on. We're gonna, we've got the new plant going on and some other things, so we hope it's exciting. We do have some exciting messages also with respect to renewable energy, things like that, that we haven't done a very good job about getting out. We're gonna be dedicating another 50 megawatts of solar this spring. Very exciting. It's gonna put El Paso Electric as the number one company with a percentage of solar in its portfolio. Some things that a lot of people don't know, and some good things. And so, anyway, we're excited to start having that dialogue with you. And I don't know if Willie has anything else to add right now.
I just wanted to congratulate the school district, Dr. Galaviz, and everybody involved here at the board level on their STEM vision. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I think that's a wonderful vision that you all have for your district. And, we have met with Dr. Galaviz and Armando and a few others, and we are working with you all through CEA and El Paso Electric to help that vision come true, and it's going to be wonderful if you succeed in that. We'll be one of probably the only one in the country to do it for the whole district. So congratulations on that mission.
I don't know if you have any questions for us tonight, but we're welcome to.
Thank you.
Next is Dino Coronado.
Board President Quintana, members of the school board, Dr. Galaviz. I just wanted to come here this evening and say thank you for the support, and specifically for the students and the staff at Canisillo High School. It's been 15 years since our band has advanced to area, our volleyball has advanced to area, and then of course our football team advanced to area and regionals. We had a student in cross country advance to regionals. So we're doing a lot of things, and without the support of you, the central office staff, every time someone advances, it's reaction. Okay, we need travel, buses, checks. There's a lot of moving parts, because what we try to do is when we send out teams, we know the schedule. And for example, in the fall, we already know the schedule in the summertime. We send those requests accordingly. But we never know what it's like after the fact. It's not really after the fact, it's a shorter time frame that we have to react to get those buses and travel arrangements made. And the support that we have had from you in central office is enormous. I just will prepare you for the spring, because we're going to do the same thing. We're going to win again, because we're Eagles and we're kind of Beavers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 5 is Board of Trustees business. Item A is appointment of board members to special board committees. Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
I apologize. I thought I was going to have a little bit more opportunity to speak in open forum. I didn't sign up, but I would like to recognize Toni Blaze. This is her last week. She's been an asset to the school board in helping us get arrangements and make sure that we're at the meetings and make sure that we know what we're supposed to be talking about, when we're supposed to be talking about it. And I know that my fellow board members are united with me in telling you, thank you, Toni. We wish you the very best, sweetheart.
Thank you very much. Thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you, thank you. Now I have my list somewhere here. Also sing happy birthday to our board president. Ms. Quintana's birthday was Friday, and she's, and Adrian Medina's is tomorrow, or is it Mendoza?
I don't know, let me check.
And I just want to wish my fellow board members happy birthday. It's good to look 22 and 25.
I'm 22.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rachel. Happy birthday to you.
Our finance, audit, facilities planning committee will be Ms. Sherrills, will be the chairperson. Armando Rodriguez will be a member, and Sergio Coronado will be a member. Our instruction, personnel, policy, student services committee will be Leticia Gonzalez, chairperson, Adrian Medina, member, and Patsy Mendoza, committee member. And those are the committees for this year.
Thank you. Item B is the Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting report for December 16th. And Mr. Coronado, those minutes were not ready for the board meeting, so I don't know if you just wanted to do a short recap.
I'll let Mr. Medina do the recap of the first part, because I was late to the committee meeting yesterday, but so.
Yeah.
enter on the computer.
Facilities Planning Committee yesterday. Mr. Sarah Brown was a little late to begin with, so we started about 10 minutes after 6. We had a roundtable discussion to start off. We got a report on our bond project report and talked a little bit about where we are with our current projects. We talked a little bit about the request from Mr. Hagan regarding the Westside Drive property, the Portland property, and that was not brought forward tonight. We also put forward the CTE Agricultural Barn Project, which is a barn located at the Damian Elementary School to house some agricultural equipment and to store bales of hay. Also, we talked about the F&B CES track. A replacement, some of $35,000. We went ahead and approved that one as well to bring to board tonight, as well as the barn project. We talked about the Johnson Controls change order request throughout the district in relation to closing out of the phase two of the energy controls. We went ahead and recommended that for tonight's agenda. We talked a little bit about discussion of real property. We really couldn't go into too much there. And then we started talking about our financing, which I believe we went back to our bond project discussion. At that point, I believe Mr. Coronado was able to come in and we started talking about that section B, which is the planning.
Thank you, Victor. Aaron really brought us a really good presentation with respect to a new development. And they call it the Winton development, but in fact it's not. The presenter actually told us it wasn't just a Winton development, but it was a consortium of companies that are, it's impressive to see that people are thinking outside about doing something different. As Ms. Searlesville pointed out at the meeting, there are some issues with respect to their commercial portion of the development, but it's good to see that we're trying to get a different kind of development in the district and applaud them for coming before they even spring it on this after it's been approved, that they have actually, I really got to give them credit that they've come to the board and asked us for input, and they want to meet again, obviously. And so I think that, you know, kudos to them for coming to meet with the district before their plan has even been finalized or approved or anything. Actually, they're still in the process of purchasing the land. So I got to give them credit for bringing that to our attention and involving the district. We also were presented with Aaron presented us with the PSB Northwest Master Plan in terms of the district and being involved in trying to acquire some of the land out of the master plan that is going to be sold by PSB. And I think it behooves the district, and that should, I think that's on our agenda item in the, is it on tonight's agenda? It is a presentation at the end. Let me see.
Well, we talked about the action.
Right, it is. It is on item number.
We gave, if you'll remember, I don't think we, unless you just wanted to hear it again. But we kind of gave a basic outline to the administration about that.
Right, and it's under item 9C of our agenda tonight. And so I guess we can still keep those on and ask any questions of Aaron if the board as a whole wants to act, since we were actually not on being able to transact business at the committee. So
I guess we can ask questions and probably cement the direction that the board may want to give to administration that maybe was recommended by the committee. But it was a recommendation of the committee that the board direct administration to seek out a possible purchase of land by the district from PSP for the purposes of school sites and multiple school sites. Obviously, I want to thank Aaron for bringing that to the forefront because it would allow the district to save money rather than purchasing it later down the road from a developer who has purchased it from the Public Service Board. So that will save the district quite a bit of money down the road. So it's just a matter of now planning and advising the PSP that the district is interested in, so we can the board as a whole can direct later tonight in the agenda item about that issue. Mr. Rodriguez presented the audit, the newcomer audit, and the TEA, the CAP. I was very impressed at the work that our staff has done, including not just the audit department, but our administration, in terms of both preparing the policies, the procedures, and following through on the corrective action plan. I think we are clearly way ahead of the game for most of the districts in the state in terms of our compliance. And so in regards to these issues, so I want to thank them for all their hard work. Mr. Rodriguez also presented his issues on the hotline. Everything seems to be working fine on the hotline. He's got four pending cases out of five, but most of them have been pretty good about closing out some of these hotline calls. The district financials were also presented to us, as well as the warrant list. I think Lori had some questions that hopefully have already been answered by administration, or will be by Friday.
If Santa comes.
Okay. And the other items on our at the meeting were a series of nine purchase items that one of them was recommended by the committee that administration take a look at again, and that would be the contract with HB Sound at the auditorium. And the rest of the items were actually recommended to the board for approval. And community input, we had community input from Lily Maldonado, who expressed her concern about the board following through with the bond commitments with respect to not committing to more than what the bond was actually planned for. Reminded that, or made her comment that she preferred that the district, with respect to those issues, stay to what was requested to be built by the bond and not any other amenities. And we adjourned.
Any questions?
Steve, just to clarify, on the GMP and the others going to be presented tonight, both from the schools?
Yes.
Is that all that we need to act on?
And BMAC, I believe.
And I think on the other, because the discussion I had in the past was it's best that we have it as an information item when it comes to development, like what Winton had, just information, and so if they could put that on the board meeting as an information block. Yeah, just an information item type of thing. Because that way when stuff goes to the CPC or any other of the commissions, hopefully they could present that as information, and that way we have it on record that the board's actually getting that information as well. And so, I guess.
We're present, Quintana, members of the board, Dr. Galvez, CHS, AMS, Northwest Early College High School GMPs are not set for action tonight. You're going to receive information about them. They'll be brought back in January after the board considered them and after the facilities group has evaluated the GMPs. They'll be brought back in January for final approval, we hope. You are going to be considering an amendment to the agreement contract tonight for action.
So they don't, it's not an action item on
you? No, sir.
Just got it last night. The GMPs, right?
Yeah.
We just got those last night, and finances, or sorry, facilities have been too. And how long do we have till they actually, because there's a certain amount of time.
It's a 30-day window.
30 days.
The intent would be to bring back that item in January for action.
Yeah, we just received it last night. Dominic was going to look that over and get that back to us in January.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I just have a concern that we need to act on some of this very quickly because I don't want to lose. We have some really good bids on by Baines on the work that they're doing, and I want to make sure that we don't lose some of those bids. I don't know if Dominic or Mr. Panahi is here or anybody from Baines about giving us and how.
We're President Quintana, board members of the board, and Department of Galvez. Reyes Amendment Number 3, we're calling it, needs action on it tonight. That's regarding continuation out in the field to build concrete structural steel, order the elevator, and also start on the masonry of that project. So
that's the BMAC project.
That's the BMAC, yes. And so the other one would be the AMS, Northwest, CHS, GMPs. Those guaranteed maximum prices were presented to us earlier last week, or towards the end of last week. And we still need some time to adequately review those guaranteed maximum prices in order to ensure that the proposals received from subcontractors are adequate and that they do cover the scopes that the contractor has stated, and also in order to be able to validate those numbers. So time is needed. It's not something that I wanted to mention in the agenda item tonight was that I want to thank Baines and also the architects for the work that they've done. It is a strain on the subcontractor pool that has bid on these projects. It is very difficult for them to be extended into the new year to be able to hold these prices for us. So that is a lot to ask of them, and I am very appreciative, and we should be appreciative of that. However, in order to allow the district adequate review of potential, we need that time, and that's what we're requesting. And that's why we just wanted to present what was presented to us simply for informational purposes only.
Thank you, Mr. President.
How soon do you think you could have the review of that? And
we anticipate working through the holiday in order to present that in the January board meeting for action.
The monthly board meeting in January?
The monthly board meeting in January. If needed, I can talk with Dr. Galaviz and board president to see if a special board meeting can happen that first week when we come back. But right now, it's we're considering it for that first board meeting in January. I have discussed that with Mr. Panahi, both Mr. Panahi's and their team. They have expressed their concern to me regarding the holdout on those subcontractors that have put in their numbers, and I do sympathize with them. But again, we would like some time to be able to review if the GMPs were delivered to us again late last week, and we need some time to review.
Okay. Madam Chair, can we have Mr. Panahi come up?
Good evening, Commissioner Pat and I with the Baines Company, the Galaviz board members. The projects that we bid on November the 19th, we asked them to hold the bids for 60 days. We anticipated that December they would be awarded, but we concur with idea. If he wants to wait to evaluate more of the bids, we will can wait another month to be able to award the project.
Okay, so it was the 19th of November, so I think we can't really wait till the monthly board meeting. We ought to probably have a special board meeting before that. I'm suggesting to the board we probably do it before the monthly board meeting.
Just if there's a kind of a discussion of what alternates you're going to pick and what base bids you're going to go to, I think it's probably appropriate to kind of do it before the board meeting. I think a special board meeting can be set up. That depends if Mr. Bedia can, how long it will take him to evaluate the proposals we have turned in. I think we turned in, we received over 150 bids, so we have a lot of bids, and we give our recommendation. I think Mr. Bedia concurs. We have a good subcontractors that bid the project. They're ready to start. We're hoping that will be awarded this year, but they will honor it for the 60 days they bid the project.
That would be my recommendation to the board, is we do it before, obviously, before the monthly board meeting and do a special board meeting just to review this. I think it's...
I would agree with that, especially right after Provide Facilities Committee.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'd like to mention, due to the large deficits we have bond project-wide, there is still some decisions that need to be made regarding the possible and indefinite postponement of certain projects in order to make up for those losses, or possibly the financing of projects to continue. That really deals with the possibility of financing the Reyes project. So these projects, and this is point number two, not only does it give us time to review, but also to be able to finalize the decision and bring a recommendation to you for what we're going to do to, in order to cover those. It would only be fair to be able to release Baines to do their work and not take away that work at a later time. I would rather be clear as to what they're going to be building. If there's certain projects that need to be indefinitely postponed, I would prefer not to deliver giving him the approval for it and then taking it away from him and the subcontractors. So I think that, again, is a better way of dealing with this issue. And I agree that that 60 days it was valid for a special board meeting. It's going to be tight again. We need to figure out what we're going to do with these deficits alongside approving these GMPs. So we have our work cut out in front of us. We're willing to work for that.
Thank you, Mr. Bedia. And we'll
Mr. Chair. And along those lines, seeing that we have some issues here with respect to the deficits and the thing, I think we need to maybe, my suggestion is we ask the administration that we've been looking into probably the possible finance of part of the Reyes portion with respect to the HVAC. And the lighting, and maybe if it doesn't, if that's not something that's feasible or palatable in terms of the amount, and when the bids come in, then maybe we ought to consider financing some of the other projects. Like, for example, something that was not in the bond, like the Northwest Early College High School, and using those funds that we have to maybe redirect them. I don't know, we might be able to secure, Martha, maybe you could tell us about, JCI is not the only people that have contacts to get the financing, we can get our own, right?
I have been in communication with Maria Urbina from First Southwest, and they provided a schedule of a maintenance tax note to the amount of about $3 million. I had indicated to her, I wasn't sure as to the exact amount, but... they are working on the ability for us to consider a maintenance tax note. As far as debt capacity, that was not an issue as per Jeff, Robert, and Maria Urbina. However, we can certainly discuss that option if we move away from the JCI consideration.
I mean, I'd like to have all options available to us because the deficit, obviously, we have some.
Yes, sir.
Did you say there was not a problem with the amount?
What they indicated is because it's going to come out of maintenance and operation, it would be up to the district to determine whether or not we wanted to take on the debt through the maintenance and operation. And that consideration has to be, when that option is considered, we need to consider the fact that as our budget process begins, we've got to consider other items such as compensation packages, other instructional initiatives that may be brought forward. So that would take away from that.
And are you beginning to work
this up? Yes, I am.
So that we, and at like a variable you know, if we did this much, we pay this much, and we don't get this, and we get that.
I have one table right now at the $3 million, with a $3 million financing, but Maria would stated that she could provide other, you know, figures if we wanted to just go to one specific project and consider a smaller amount.
And have you also looked at just financing with the local institution?
I'm working on that. Okay, I need to move on that.
Mr. Chair, or Mr. the Facilities and Finance Chair, or well, Mr. Osgood, to look at, I'm hoping on the next meeting that we have all the options presented and saying, okay, yes, you know, whether it's a tax maintenance note, whether it's a financing option through the third party of JCI, or whether it's a you know, a financial institution, or maybe some of the other products that our financial advisor might recommend, depending, and then be able to come up with analysis and saying, okay, this is the best product to use, let's go with this one. Especially looking at the short term of, you know, hopefully we're able to finance, or not finance that, but be able to pay the bond once we pass our next bond. The major goal for me, I don't know, for the board, is that we actually look at providing, making sure that we do those major products, that major projects, not products, that we did tell the community we were going to do, so that way those projects get done, and then we'll have to work on the other issues throughout, and then final, hopefully. So looking at what is a better short term, because if it's a tax maintenance, no, I think it's like 7 something years, right?
Or 7 years, yes.
7 years, so seeing what's, how much is going to dip into our not our fund balance, but our maintenance and operations, and then looking at, because pretty much all those products will probably dip into our maintenance and operations.
That's correct.
So what is it short term, you know, let's say 2-3 years, if we go out and pass a bond to actually pay that back without having to use and all that stuff. So if we could get that at the next, at that meeting, or which, the next meeting, I think that's the more critical thing. And then that way we could say, okay, this is our bond, and we need to start making sure that that way we can start moving forward.
Madam Chair, it sounds like what I'm hearing is that we need to give administration time to, correct me if I'm wrong, that you need the time to explore these different avenues before you decide on which is the avenue we need to take.
Yes, ma'am, exactly. That's what we need. We need some time to go down those avenues to figure out what the best option is to help to ultimately make a recommendation to you is what we would like to do. As Mrs. Aguirre eloquently stated, she is working on the finance portion of, you know, potentially financing these projects. Facilities and transportation is working the other end. What as to make recommendations and collaborate with finance as to only delivering the projects that were promised to the taxpayers at this point, and indefinitely postpone projects that were not promised to the taxpayers. I've run preliminary calculations on indefinitely postponing projects such as the Northwest Early College, reducing the scope of work at the high school canopy, and reducing that, that then roughly that'll bring us within $500,000 deficit. So, so that's the other, that's not only financing, but also collaborating together, if we're really making a recommendation of, you know, let's really just build what was promised and what was intended, and let's get back without having to go into debt with you know, some other options. So,
I understand. And Dr. Galavis, will that then come to the committee meeting in January?
Well, I guess what I'm hearing is you want to go to a special board meeting to talk about all of this, right, Mr. Goromowski?
That would be my suggestion, Lori, because we don't have a lot of time. At least, well, these are the issues we might have, but clearly we don't on the Baines projects. I don't see how we... Unless we do the committee from one day and then the next day the special board meeting.
Or maybe committee meeting with board meeting right after.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some, but you know what? I know Ms. Mendoza and I have talked about this before. Sometimes we've done that in the past and we get home and think, oh, gosh, did we do the right thing? Because it was too much. You didn't have time to
all at once
to digest and take it in, and you spend a sleepless night wondering if you did the, you know, made the right move. So maybe committee meeting, special meeting.
sooner the better is more critical, especially once a new year that's in looking at. Will you also have, can you have them here so that way they could tell us what the projection is?
Dominic said they don't have to celebrate Christmas.
I mean, what are the projections? I mean, and looking at the, you know, their economist is, okay, you know, 2 months, this is what we're looking at, 3 months. And we need to, I mean, we're not going to, we can't waste more than a month or two, but we need to see what, you know.
And they've already started the, you know, the analysis because I had already approached them about the options that we could consider. I will note that because it's going to be under the $10 million threshold, and that appears to be the only financing we may have in the next calendar year, we'll have a bank qualified rate as far as their interest rate goes, and it'll be better than just what the market has. So,
and we capped out last year, right?
Yes. Well, this year is capped out.
We could have done $4 million and capped out at that.
Yeah. Well, we sold the $20 million worth of bonds this year in June.
But on the qualified bonds, what we have only
$10 million.
$10 million a year, right?
A year. So it would qualify for next, you know, beginning January 1st. It's a new calendar year, and so we'll contact
Dr. Galaviz, yourself, and Mr. Padilla, and get all that worked out.
Sure.
Just the only last question is, Dominic had mentioned the projects that were not promised to the voters. How much are those brick and mortar, and then how much are those, like, in other words, 500 plus brick and mortar, and how much of it is just a canopy that we could put off, at like a brick and mortar gymnasium or an AMS? That's all has to get done. Do you know? Do you have that from?
I have that. I can provide that in the weekly board packet. I can have that off the top of my head. I don't want to give you all numbers right now.
Okay, just let us know what's promised to voters that we have to get done.
Right.
And on let's say a scale of, you know, 0 to 100,000, and 100,000 to 500,000, and then pretty much the big projects that, I mean, the voters are going to recognize a gym not being at the high school if we go, you know, and then which ones are not designated that we have. Can we get that?
Yes, sir.
That's it.
In speaking, if I could, speaking with Baines, Mr. Panahi, we had thought that having an agreement on a GMP, if that comes to it, and with the board's approval, on the 13th of January, which is 14th, a Tuesday, that would allow them adequate time to be able to sign up the subcontractors before that, the 16th, 60-day period that the subcontractors have allowed. And administratively speaking, I think we could meet that deadline.
Just one last question.
Yes.
That's within the bond project, the actual designs we had on the pre-KA, we had told...
On the what?
The pre-KA.
Okay.
We had told, we gave administration the go-ahead to finish the design and do the modifications for the phasing out. Has that been fully completed? One. And then if it's been fully completed, has that gone out fully? In other words, we're not going out with 10% of the drawings left. Has it been finalized and then we're going out?
The plans are being finalized as we speak. The electrical package remains outstanding. Those drawings are still due from the architect. And if I could ask Mr. Juan to come up to kind of give an update as to what he's received, he'd give a better update of what's been delivered. We met today to discuss the bidding schedule of what remains to be did. And during our weekly business site meeting, and
it's going to actually go back into the last meeting, so we can just wait for that.
Yes, we can.
Good evening. My name is Juan Contreras. I'm with VMAC. Currently, the modified drawings are, for all practical purposes, about 99% complete. There's a few sheets that are being revised. The electrical package has been issued. The bids are due on the 19th. In a couple more days, or on Thursday, we should be able to present the electrical amendment again, also probably on the 14th of January, if we can.
I think it's probably better. We already have that agenda item, so if we just wait till then, so that way we don't, we could ask more detailed questions.
Thank you.
Item C is the report of board member continuing education credits for the 2013 calendar year.
And they are as follows. All Canutillo ISD trustees have met and or exceeded the requirements for continuing education for the 2013 calendar year. Total credit hours are Sergio Coronado, 18.5 hours. Leticia Gonzalez, 32.25 hours. Adrian Medina, 12 hours plus 5 pending posting for a total of 17. Patricia Mendoza, 64.90 hours. Armando Rodriguez, 62.25 hours. Loris Searles, 38.75 hours. And myself, 32.25 hours.
I noticed that none of us were given credit. We all went to that Far West Texas board meeting at Region 19.
We didn't get credit for that?
Maybe in October.
October 17th.
And I don't, yeah, you're right.
I can follow up on that.
And that's not.
Oh, the Jimmy Boston?
We were, yes. Everybody on the board was there. I know that for sure. And that's not reflected.
Okay.
That is true.
And I think it's like 3 or 4 hours.
It was 3 hours.
And then I had a federal relations network from last January that was probably 12.
Okay, I'll check on those as well.
And a leadership TASB from.
You got your session one, right? Are reflected there? Your session two had not been posted yet.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
And just for the record, my badge at NASB is not working properly. So that's why there's some errant hours that haven't been properly credited. So we went ahead and got those properly. properly.
That's what they all
say. Last night. Click.
You got hours for Ben?
That's 4 hours.
Anybody else?
Okay, item six is the consent agenda, and administration recommends approval of the consent agenda with the exception of item H, which has been withdrawn.
I'd like to pull item D.
Item D?
Yep.
Anybody else?
Yes. I would like to have item B and item F.
Anybody else?
I think Mr. Coronado made a statement about H.
Yep,
yeah.
Yeah.
H is pulled.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And that'll take us to item B, attendance, financials, and warrant list for November
2013. Madam Chair, I turned in all of my credits to Ms. Aguirre. It's okay, Martha. I've turned all the questions into her, and we're awaiting a response. But I wanted to point something out that was just spectacular, and I see this every year, and I think it needs to be noted, that Judge Gonzalo Garcia has once again written us a check for almost $1,000 for coats, jackets, shoes, for school children in our district that are needy. And I just think it's amazing and wonderful that, you know, it gives back so much. And I hope that we're writing thank you notes to the wonderful people who do donate to us. And that was all on that. Thank you very much. Yes, I would like to recommend that we accept. I move to accept the attendance financial and warrant list.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Tony?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Yes.
That'll take us to item D, acceptance of donations.
I just wanted to read into the record the donations that we accepted this month. Alamo Livestock, Mission Chevrolet, Kagan Professional Development, Amanda Dixon, Primetime Advertising, Gonzalo Quinones, and Rachel Gutierrez. I just think this is something we should continue every time, not just for the consent agenda, but thank these people for donating their resources to our district. And with that, I'd like to move to accept the donations for November.
Second.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
That'll take us to item F, second reading of TASB Localized Policy Update 98.
Madam Chair, I had asked that, and I'm sorry, it's really my fault. I was not able to be at the meeting. My cat died, I think. It wasn't funny. I love the cat.
I didn't expect that. I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at the cat.
It's okay. But I wasn't able to be at the meeting, and after reading TASB Update 98, there were some things that I wanted to discuss in that, and I would like to refer that back to Ms. Gonzalez's committee instead of approving the second reading tonight. So, I don't know if I need to move that we postpone the second reading. I will. I move that we postpone the second reading of TASB Localized Policy Update 98 until after it goes back to Ms. Gonzalez's committee.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Mr. Coronado?
I have a... are some of these... in the update 98, any of those legal requirements that need to be in place, maybe who's, Martha? Do we have an issue with any of the legal requirements that have to be in the, that need to be done now?
On some we do. Basically on the legal ones, you know, TASB waits until we notify them to update the policy online. So if we postpone this, and this is already at the second reading, and it's gone through that process, if we postpone this, I know that probably it'll be until maybe the January board meeting, if not February, that we get this approved.
And is that a problem?
I know that they do call us and say that we're behind on getting these policies approved.
Then maybe I could amend my motion that we approve the legal policies in update 98. I would like to amend my motion to approve the second reading of the legal policies of update 98 and not the local policies, because those are the ones I had issue with.
If I may, there's a problem with doing that because some of the legal policies are going to require revisions to those legal policies. So
we could just, yeah, we could.
I think it's, I agree with Martha, we're late, but I don't think waiting 30 days to get it right.
How does it affect us?
There were some big board member things in localized policy 98 that I don't think were talked about. I don't think the board talked about the local implications too directly to the board is the issue that I was concerned over.
I have an idea, Madam Chair. Maybe we just put it on as a side issue on the special board meeting early January, and then that way it's not that bad.
But we don't get to talk about it at the committee.
Well, we're late with the updates. There's not a, you don't have to do it.
No, I've never had it.
You don't have to. They recommend that we do, and they recommend that you do as well. Because you're getting updated with respect to certain requirements. For example, there are items in here to deal with legal requirements for limited student removal from class. That's been changed. There's a statute, and so we want to update our practices to comply with that. It only becomes a problem if one of those issues arises between now and them being accepted, you have to comply with the statute. I don't think anything's going to happen between now and January meeting that's going to require us to act. We're going to break this at that time. So I think it's the best to wait.
So we bring it in to the committee meeting in January. And then we'll go right to the second reading in the January board meeting.
The other thing that I would like to add, and I have close to Ms. Gonzalez about it, I thought she would be the chair again, was the fact that one of the criteria when we were looking at the date change for our board meeting was the fact that we're taking a more proactive role and we're probably going to have our legislative agenda for the first time when we Ms. Quintana met with Ms. Representative Pickett and talked about that. And so this is probably a year where we'll have a legislative agenda to start working on and then have the other boards approve it. And so our board meeting currently sits on two or three other school districts. For us to go to those board meetings to attend and have them, so it's going to be difficult. But the other thing is Steve also got hired at Socorro. So we were possibly looking at which one would it be, so that way I'd prefer a name, but let's try it.
I've asked the school district to consider moving one meeting to accommodate this.
The thing that I see is if Socorro moves their meeting, there's still El Paso, there's still Slano, there's other boards that have board meetings on the same date, and for us to pass the legislative agenda. So I would like it to go to this at least committee, if not to report it to go to the committee for that way we've had that discussion.
And then why do we need to move it instead of them moving their
meeting? Well, they could move it, but what I'm talking about, we were going to have that discussion. So do you want to go through the proper steps of it going to the committee, or I could just
maybe
it
just gives up to we'll
get together.
Yeah.
So let's wipe out all the motions and start again. Withdraw all of the above motions and I'll start again. I move the second reading of TASB localized policy update 98 until the next regularly scheduled board meeting and bring it to Ms. Gonzalez's committee in the meantime.
Second.
No, it's not.
Well,
okay.
We have a motion and a second, Ms. Tony.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Stroll?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Item 7A, discussion and possible action regarding 2012-13 external audit. Ms. Samaniego.
Good
Board President Quintana, board members, and Dr. Galavis. We're here tonight to talk about the fiscal year 13 audit. I have a presentation. Can you all see behind me, or should I move over here? Everybody can see? Okay. Okay, perfect. So what I wanted to do tonight is keep in mind that we're looking at the fiscal year 13 audit, which ended June 30th, 2013. So when we look at some of these numbers, they may be completely different as of today, but we're reflecting on last year. I think hopefully any of the detailed questions that you all have, we've heard from a few of you all, and of course with the weekly update updates that you all received over the last few months, we've gotten questions kind of as we went. But so I wanted to take a few minutes to highlight the financials, and we're going to touch on the single audit and then any audit findings that we had. We'll touch on that and see what kind of questions you all might have. So the first thing is the audit opinion. That's probably the most important on the audit. And then you are receiving an unqualified opinion, which is a clean opinion, which means we have no reservations regarding the financial statements. Okay, on our financial highlights, I wanted to highlight, first of all, your net position, formerly known as net assets. We had some accounting rules come down this year that now are requiring us to call this your net position. This is the otherwise known as your equity within the district here. So how this is separated, I know on the big screen it looks a little smaller than it did on the laptop there. But so just to break that up, net investment and capital assets that you all have represents 65%. That's the largest percentage here that you have. We do have some amounts restricted for federal and state programs and debt service. And then the most positive number, of course, is your unassigned balance, your unrestricted, which is 25%. And that's the amount that you're able, as a district, to do what you need to do, and it's not assigned anywhere else. The net position in your general fund, as you all are probably aware, it's recommended that you keep 60 to 90 days in your unassigned fund balance for your annual expenses for your general fund. So here is the calculation that we walked through to come up with how many days you're at, and right now you're at 81, so well within your 60 to 90 days. On our statement of net position, our working capital ratio, which is a lot of times when we first look at the financials, is one of the highlights that we calculate, and you're at a 4.4-to-1 ratio, almost a 4.5, which means that you have more current assets, almost 4.5 more times current assets that you do to pay the liabilities that you owe within the next 12 months. So these are the current, meaning 12 months or less. It's a very positive position to be in. The comparison of capital assets, if I'm going too fast, you guys just let me know. Otherwise, I'm just touching on some highlights. The comparison of capital assets net of depreciation, here's where you can see where all of your assets are. You can see that most of the increases over this last fiscal year were in your constructions in progress. And this is as all these projects are being done. They're put in construction in progress, and they will later be moved up to buildings and improvements as they are completed. So they are not currently being depreciated. The next slide is just a visual of that, which was also in your financial package, where you can see in a more visual format as far as how many that most of your assets are in buildings and improvements. The comparison of your revenues by source for governmental activities. I just wanted to highlight a few of these. All in all, our revenues went up 6%. And so some of you know, within the different categories, we went up on a few line items, down on a few line items. But the largest ones that we have, operating grants and contributions, we still felt, you know, in 2012 when we ended the funding, now we have none. So those were just closing out. So and other grants affect that as well. Our local property tax, that has gone up due to the assessed property values that go up. And then our state revenues go up as those calculations are done at a state level with your enrollment, and also as they look at your property values and tax collections. The next slide is a visual of, that percentage isn't showing, but your largest percentage is in purple right there, is your state revenues. 34% is the green on the local property tax. The next slide that I put here is your statement of activities on your expenses. And what I did was I broke out the numbers that are in the financial statements by the categories that TASBO usually presents on, and they've given several presentations throughout the year on their percentages as far as a statewide level with Texas Public Schools and what percentages their average is. They're using a fiscal year 2011 average is what they have combined for everybody. So what I did was I just put your numbers there and compared it to what you can see the averages are, and you're well within what those averages are at a state level. Some of the items that when you see a little bit in excess on food services, those 2011 numbers that the state calculated certainly doesn't take into account for the new food programs that have come out in the last year or so. So that would explain a little bit overage there. The next slide is on statement of activities and your change in position. We see our net change in position is $782,000. That's at the end of the day for all funds government-wide, compared to the $3.3 million last year. This is as we continue to have more capital outlay, those numbers will go down as we're increasing our assets on the other side. We did have a prior period entry that you see here that was explained in the financial statements of a decrease of $948,000. That is primarily related to a new GASB that came out this year, which affected that by $1 million. And then we had another adjustment to correct the bond series that had been previously reported. So those adjustments were made. So all in all, our increase or decrease in net position was just about zero once the prior period adjustments were made. Any questions on the financials before I move on to single audit? Okay, perfect. On single audit, as you know, because you spend over $500,000 in federal and state funding, we're required to do some additional work as far as those programs go. We go through a matrix, we choose your, we walk through, choose a certain level of percentages. Since you're a low-risk district, we choose 25% of your expenditures that we need to cover that you spent there, which led us to pick the CFDA cluster for the child nutrition, and then we chose Title I for the improving basic programs. So what we do with those that you may already be aware, but we go through those, we test those for compliance and eligibility, as required by the federal government, and then we report back to the government if there are any findings with those. The next page tells you our two reports that we have that are in the back of your financial statements. That's what your federal and state government goes to look and see how you're spending your money. The first report is on internal control. That's internal control in accordance with government auditing standards. In there we had 9 findings which are listed in your financial statements. The report on major programs or any findings we had in specifically with the CFDA numbers we tested, which we did not have anything that was out of compliance on those. The next slide, I listed the findings just by number. I know in your packets and in the bound copies, you have the detail there, which includes management's response for each of these. I listed the 9 that are on here. Some of these, as we've talked about in some meetings, you'll notice that some of these may look familiar to you. Some of them, when we do the findings, we go through, we've worked closely with both finance and internal audit, and some of those items in internal audit that they have found, and certainly in Dr. Fad's report during the year, we felt rose to the level of importance at a financial statement level, and so those are also put in here as we felt that they were material enough. And then there were other items that we ran across that we put in here as in terms of the audit. Did anyone, as you all have looked through these, did anyone want to go into any of these in any kind of detail, or have you all already read those? Okay.
Madam Chair, I can't see the one on 5, the special ed department, the note.
Yes, that was from Dr. Fad's report. There's several. There's a couple there. Special ed with no policies and procedures. And the number 6 on the next slide is the lack of full-time speech language pathologists. Most of those, as of today, have been corrected, and so those management responses were included in the audit as well.
Okay.
So no questions on any of those. Okay. And then the next slide, I just touched on a management letter. You guys also have you have a management letter which just details other items in the course of an audit that we did not feel were material to the financial statements, so they are not listed as findings, just areas of improvement. Some of those, again, may have come from other reports that you may have seen this year, and then some that we ran into in the course of an audit. Did anyone have any questions on any of those management comments that you have? And then we will also send management, as we met, I know we met with each of you all, and then I met with a number of people throughout the district, and sometimes we hear of things that are, you know, a bit out of scope of the external audits. We will pass any of those comments on to internal audit, and you as a district can decide if there's anything that you all choose to look at any further with those items. Any questions, folks?
Any questions from anybody?
No. I have a comment.
Sure.
I want to thank Mr. Rodriguez for taking the step forward to cause us to change and have a second external auditor look at what we've done, because it seems like you've done an awesome job. I've been really impressed.
Well, we've had a lot of help. Finance and internal audit especially, it's certainly a group effort to do the audit, and it's the financial statements, most of the entries we have are either routine entries or discussed with finance in advance, so it would certainly indicate that you receive accurate financial statements on a monthly basis, and everybody internally as far as financials are doing a great job.
What I'm hearing from you, though, is that we have a pretty significant lack of internal controls.
We have some recommendations on controls, and most of those, and of course we've been here since June, so some of these, of course, have been ongoing discussions. Some, I think, as of today, there's been significant progress on those and corrective action plans in place. So I think everybody is already acting on those that have been mentioned.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Just real quick, I want to also thank and comment on the audit, as well as I think the system that we set up in place, and hopefully will continue. I've sort of learned how the TA audit went, and how we met with the TA when they came in, and it was the interview. Not the interview, but the entrance or something.
Mm-hmm. Like the entrance conference?
Yeah, the entrance conference. And so, you know, whether it's a committee or the board president meets with the entrance conference and then follows through, that I think we set up a good system where the work goes through the internal auditor. And I think we need to start working on that, whether it's a career and technology type of audit with TA comes in, anything. Should work with the internal audit department, and then at the same time we met throughout those processes, and then we had a final, and so the whole process I think was something new, and the good thing is when we had this discussion at the end, it's looking at our internal audit as well, being an audit certified department, going through that process, so it's something that we could look at, and I'm sure they really like that, but for us to become certified, they're all getting, they have their CPAs or getting their CIAs, and now with the move us to get that department certified, and that would be a good thing to continue to show our district is moving in the right direction. So I want to thank you all, and that was the finance department as well, and our internal audit as well as our extra.
So our next step is we'll submit this to TEA this week. We do have a signature page for the board president and board secretary to sign if you all are choosing to approve the audit this evening. And then we will submit it to TEA, and there's a new requirement for finance to log in and approve that as well this year. So we'll get that taken care of this week.
That being said, I'll make a motion to approve our external audit as presented by, or our audit as presented by our external auditors.
Is there a second?
Second.
Do you have a motion and a second, please?
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes. Motion passed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate all your hard work.
Item B, Reyes School, discussion and possible action regarding VMAC amendment. Mr. Padilla.
Board President Quintana, board members, and Dr. Galaviz, good afternoon. The document that was handed to you just now is a revised version of what was delivered to you previously in the board packet. As you may know, amendment was delivered to us by VMAC for a certain dollar amount. That dollar amount has since changed with the help of our architect and our bond project manager. We discovered that there was a discrepancy in the dollar amount regarding the proposal as delivered by the concrete subcontractor. That number has come down by $70,000. We were able to say be able to see that credit back to the district, and this revised dollar amount is reflected in the $70,000 deduction in the concrete number alone. You won't notice a difference between the previous agenda item and this agenda item of $70,000. You have to take into account the fees that are associated with that $70,000. So that was what was delivered to you just now. It's just a revised dollar amount. It is still administration's recommendation to approve a BMAX amendment for building concrete structure, steel material erection, steel allowance, plumbing, elevator, masonry, and associated fees, and contingency per the attached cost breakdown. That cost breakdown has been updated as well. And also, please note that there's a $50,000 allowance and a $25,000 allowance for steel and concrete, respectively.
Is there still more to change in capacity? Remember that, Mr. Cornell? When we first built our high school, like Mr. Baines, Mr. Knight, the steel market just skyrocketed, remember?
At this time, I don't have a good understanding of what steel is currently doing. But I can find that information out for you if you'd like. There has been a previously a little background information that was an amendment to a GMP type contract that was typed up by the previous administrator of this position. Really just an amendment to a GMP. However, in talking with legal counsel, that wasn't the most appropriate contract to use. With Mr. Blanco's help, we created and drafted a new contract agreement for a more suitable type agreement for this actual amendment. That was drafted with the help of Mr. Blanco, and that has been prepared and ready for the board's execution tonight, if you all deem so.
And what is the administration's recommending the approval of the amendment for VMAC?
Yes.
I make a motion to approve the amendment for VMAC to construction as presented by administration.
Second.
I have one question, Madam Chair. Mr. Padilla, essentially the amendment is all about the $50,000 worth of steel.
No, this amendment is really allowing the construction to continue on the field. If you recall, we had an amendment, if you recall, there was an amendment for site work, the dirt work.
Yes.
That was that first amendment. Now this is another amendment to continue the construction on the field prior to a guaranteed maximum price being delivered. We need to find a vehicle to have that continue, and that's what this is that amendment to continue on the field with construction. It's concrete, steel, those types of items.
Thank you.
So not yet, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anybody else?
Just, I guess this was the item that we could ask the question. The question regarding
the status of the drawings and the final plans.
Oh, yeah. One, right? Can you give us an update just real quick? I guess on the next amendments, right, are we going to be coming in, or we're going to have the final design and then go out? That's the question that we're looking
at. We're going to be coming to you in January with another amendment for the electrical portion of the project. The drawings are currently
about 99% complete. There's a few sheets that are being modified that are supposed to be completed by this Friday. At that point, we will put the documents out to bid for the balance of the project, and we're hoping that either by the end of January, beginning of February, we'll provide you the GMP for the total project.
So all other trades and everything else will be
completed? What we did at the beginning, we will advertise at the end of this year and in the first week of January, with the bids being received in the middle of January.
Okay, sounds good.
We anticipate BMAC and us delivering a presentation of the GMP by the end of January. Either special, we would prefer a special board meeting be held for that, but there's a possibility of waiting until, I'm not sure if there's a possibility of waiting until February to have a regular board meeting.
It all depends on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's
different
options.
Beyond the way as a project, administration position.
There's the financing
that
we need to discuss. If we're going to finance, we're going to reduce. That all plays into this as well. So we'll have to figure out when we're going to do this.
But
that's what we're doing.
In terms of our construction, with the amendment you're approving today, and the technical trade that will be presented on January 14th. We have a special meeting on the 14th. We will have the time to continue with all the underground work, concrete work, or the steel.
So what you're doing that?
All the underground conduits. Basically, in the amendment you have today, you have the plumbing part of it, which goes underneath the concrete slabs. When we bring the electrical subcontractor or amendment on the middle of January, that will allow us to put the electrical conduit underneath the slabs and then allow us to continue with the slabs, get the steel order, get the masonry order, get the elevator order, start working on the structure.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Medina?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strong?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Item C is the CHS, AMS, and Northwest ECHS discussion on Baines GMPs.
Board President Quintana, board members, and Dr. Galavis, the document that was provided to you in the agenda that you have in front of you was a presentation by Baines of the numbers that were received as far as hard numbers for these projects. You will note that some of the projects were, and this is simply a presentation, this is just what administration is recommending be indefinitely postponed at this time. It's not necessarily that we're recommending this be done now, this is just for presentation. What you have in front of you is right now showing with certain projects indefinitely postponed at the high school project, there's an overall deficit of roughly $3.7 million in deficit. You have to know what you're looking at. We've arbitrarily just indefinitely postponed on the paper some certain projects in order to get it to the 1.7. This Thursday, you will receive in your report packet a revised estimate with all projects as if they were going to be built. And what that deficit would show is a total deficit closer to $2.4 million in deficit. So this is just to give you an example of some certain projects that we can potentially indefinitely postpone, bring that down. The deficit's down. There's a million ways to skin a cat, and that's what we're trying to just show to you. Ultimately, as we discussed earlier with Baines being here, the goal would be to come back to the board either the 13th or the 14th of January with the administration's recommendation. With all these other loose ends, including if we're going to finance, if we're going to recommend a definite postponement, all of those to come together with a package to say this is what we recommend be done. And also prior to doing that, we would be discussing that with CBAC to get their input and their ultimate recommendation on that as well. So that's what our plan is.
Any questions?
I'd like to mention, Baines did mention that the bids that were received, they were vast. I was very happy with the quantity of bids that were received, and I was also happy with I guess you could say the standard deviation of the bids. The bids were tightly bound, a huge range of the drawings. It's a testament to the drawings that were good. So I think commend the contractor for doing a good job and the architect for doing a good job with their drawings and the bidding phase.
So the 14th, the earliest, or the 13th?
That's the latest, not the earliest. It would be the latest. We would want.
Oh, we would.
The latest.
Yeah, there's a possible.
There's a possibility 6, 7, 8, 9. In fact, that's possible. And we'll work again over the market to figure out what the best options for us. The latest would be the 14th.
Well, no further questions? Ms. Tony?
Now take us to item 8, which is executive session. And the time is now 8 p.m. and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, sections 551071 and 551074.